My brethren, count it all what? Joy. What's joy? Is it happiness? Is it fun? Is it giggles? Is it holiday world? Is that joy? That's fun. Joy is that deep inside contentment and wholeness, even when things around you are falling apart. Count it all joy. Count it all joy when things don't go the way you think they should go. Count it all joy when you have been dealing with your aunt's financial affairs for years and years and years, and she's been dead since September, and the beat goes on. Count it all joy. And I, please, you know, I'm not blasting that. I'm glad I could help her. But when you're dealing with the government, it's just never ending, seems like. So the other day, well, in the last week, I've had to go to H&R Block and file taxes. I didn't know you had to file taxes after you were gone, but they say death and taxes are sure. Taxes are sure even after death. But but anyway, the first time I went there, I got this lady. She was real helpful and real nice. And I said, you need prayer for anything? She goes, well, yeah, honey, I always need prayer. So that was easy. So we prayed, and she had some physical things that weren't right. Well, the next time I go in there, I thought, I got to go in here again. I went in there again, and this is after the Dave Hogan meetings, and there was a lady that needed a miracle. She didn't say it, but I said, do you need prayer for anything? She said, oh, yes, I do, but, you know, God's too busy for my, and there's this, no, they're really, if you ever ask somebody about prayer, and they go, God's too busy for my stuff. You ever heard that? And I said, ma'am, I said, he's taking care of the whole universe and holding it together. He can, really, he can squeeze another one in there. And so she agreed, and we prayed, and we talked about Jesus. I don't know what the outcome was, but after I left her, I thought, God, forgive me for murmuring inside. You know, if every opportunity, you got to figure everything that happens in your life is God ordained. You got to figure everything that happens is God ordained, and God will take what the enemy has meant for evil, and he will turn it around and use it for his glory. If you don't have faith to believe that, well, you're not going to get anything more than a complaint and a murmur, and depression's going to set in on you, and you're going to think God's not good, and why is God so mean? And I know nobody thinks like that, but really inside sometimes when we think God hasn't done something, anyway, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. I looked this up, trials, in the Strong's. It said the trial of man's fidelity, integrity, virtue, constancy, and enticement to sin. Temptation, whether arising from desires, from outward circumstances, or internal temptation to sin. And I thought, what was the things that Dave Hogan said? Integrity, virtue, principles, faithfulness. He said, if you'll live like that, you will see the wonders of the Lord, didn't he? He said, if you constantly live like that, right? Verse 3, knowing that the testing of your faith, belief and action in God's written word, the testing of your faith produces patience. Let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. I'm going to jump on. 12, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one, listen guys, each one is tempted when, this is talking to believers, when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to what? Sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Somebody got another version? What's it say? Because that's a little confusing.
Which version? I mean, which verse exactly?
17, wasn't it?
Yeah. Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above. It comes down from the Father of lights, the creator and sustainer of the heavens, in whom there is no variation, no rising or setting, or shadow cast by his turning, for he is perfect and never changes.
Amen. So there's never no darkness there. He doesn't waver. Your boss at work or the rules at work might change, you know, back and forth, back and forth. But can anybody testify to that? Really? And the bigger the company, the longer it takes them to admit they're wrong, even though they know the first day they were wrong. It will take 2 years to change that rule because we don't want to be wrong, even though we're wrong. That never happens with God. When God sets forth a precept or a commandment, he is right, 100% right, and it's always for your good. That's the point, young people. It's always for your good, not just young people, but you get the desires of the world come in a lot stronger on young people because your mom and dad, hey, don't let them think they never fell. They may not have. They may have never fallen. But they know what the end of sin is. Nothing good, death, separation from God. Go to verse 19. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear. Slow to speak. Slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. How many of y'all have gotten in trouble before because you didn't listen to instructions? I mean in the physical even. I'm not even talking about God right now. There was a deal when I was in school, this teacher gave us a test. And it says, okay, put your name on the paper. And then the first thing it said was, read all the directions carefully. Number two said, raise your hand. I can't remember. Number three said, holler, whoa. Number four says this. Number five says, do this. Number six. And it went through about 25 different things that were kind of goofy. And then the last one said, now that you've read all the directions, don't do anything that was said there. Turn the paper into your teacher. Of course, you've already exposed yourself by going, hey, blah, blah, blah. But the whole point was read all the directions before you do anything. Well, if you read the directions of the Lord before you do stuff, there'll be victory there, man, constant victory. So I want to pray. Let's read one more verse. Go to verse 21. Listen, this is good stuff. Lay aside all, what? Filthiness, what would that be? Immoral, whatever, you know, put it in that box. Lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to what? Save your souls. And this is about the Dave Hogan meetings, okay? Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. In other words, when you hear the word and don't do it, you are deceiving yourself that you've done a good thing by reading your word. And I'm all for reading the word, praise God, all you can. And Dave Hogan even stirred me up. He said he listens to it how many hours a day? 100 chapters a day. So, you know, anytime I got spare time, I usually would, used to, we'd go to sleep with the Word of God playing all night long. But you kind of, you do things and then you kind of fade away from it. Well, when you do that, man, you got the implanted Word of God going into you. And God will bring it back to your mind during the day. Even though you couldn't quote it maybe 100%, He'll bring it back to your mind. And you need to do something with that, right? You need to be a doer of what God says if you want to be a victor, right? For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. He observes himself, he goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, what? Continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. So I wrote a parable here. He who gets a touch from David Hogan meeting and forgets that touch and those words of truth and life is like a man who looks in a mirror and forgets what he looks like. When you go to a special meeting, when you get zonked and fall out on the floor and shake and Holy Spirit breathes in your mouth, CPR, hey, I believe every word you said. I've had even weirder things than that happen to me. But you know what? It can fade away like... Maria, I don't know, did you ever come out... did you come out to the barn years and years ago? I didn't know if you were ever in there or not. But when we got back from Brownsville, we were just a normal church when we before we went to Brownsville. Normal and is good, you know, holy, believe the word. Went to Brownsville 21 years ago, was it? 96, you're right. When we came back, I didn't feel no different. I didn't look no different. But a month before that, the people that took us there, they had a little more. They were walking in faith a little more than us, Jan and Ted. God bless them. Resurrect them back into life and faith in Jesus' name, God. You got destiny for them. They, by faith, we had these old wooden plywood floors. They, by faith, said, we need to put carpet on this floor. We're going to need carpet in about a month. And so we go to Brownsville. And I gave an altar call, and I preached salvation like I usually preach. That was my raw. I wanted to see souls. Everybody in the church came up, I think. Just about everybody was weeping at the altar. And nothing, the word was not any different. The delivery was not any different. In fact, at Brownsville, when they pray for you, they said, now you've got a transferable anointing on you. And when you go back home, nothing's going to be the same. I'm like, oh, I got zonked. I fell on the floor. I laughed for 5 minutes and cried for 5 minutes. So I knew God had done something, but I didn't feel any different. And some of y'all go to these Dave Hogan meetings, and you didn't have the Holy Spirit breathe in your mouth. You didn't have this happen. You didn't have that happen. But the fact is, the Holy Spirit came on you, and you've all got different personalities, so you're all going to react differently, so you can't compare your experience to your experience. You can't. Man, I've seen people bawl and squall at the altar when they get saved. And then I've seen people like me that just, okay, God, I surrender. Your amount of tears does not judge how strong your move was, because I've seen them the next day turn right back to Satan. So it's not about emotions. It's about the truth. The truth is, if you were at these meetings, you got a touch. The truth is, if you were at these meetings, you got faith to raise the dead. And it's kind of like the old adage, right? If you don't use it, you'll lose it. Is that biblical? I'll tell you where that's biblical. It's in Matthew. I can't tell you the chapter, but there was these three dudes and a big rich landowner, and he gave out, five talents, I think, to one of them. He gave two talents out to another one, and he gave two talents. Talents were an amount of money or gold, okay? And the one that got five, he said, I'm going away to a far country, and when I get back, you can give back to me what you've invested. Basically, I'm paraphrasing this real bad. So to me, it's like Jesus gave us gifts and talents, and he went off to a far country called heaven. And when he comes back, remember Jesus went to the fig tree looking for figs? Really? And it says in the Bible, it's clear that it was not season for figs. He expects fruit from you when it's out of season. He expects fruit from you all the time. He expects fruit from you when you're depressed. He expects fruit from you when things aren't going, when you don't feel anything. He expects you to bear fruit. Is that true? But I seen Steve Hill one night. I was there, and he had this big bushel basket of leaves. He said, when Jesus comes back, he's not looking for leaves. You've got leaves, leaves all over you, and he's throwing these things everywhere. He said, he don't want leaves. He wants fruit. We can look real bushy, and we can look real holy, and we can real, he wants fruit. He deserves fruit. And I'm not saying you're saved by works. I'm saying if you're saved, you'll be bringing forth works, right? So praise God. What an opportunity, right? So they went away, and it said the master came back, and the guy with five talents, he said, okay, what have you done with the five talents I gave you? Well, I invested them, Lord, and I've got five more talents. Wow, he doubled what was given to him. He said, good, faithful servant, here. Now you take these 10 talents, and I'll bless you, and I'll give you one with two talents. What'd you do? I invested it, Lord, and I got two more talents. He said, good, you take those talents, and I'll give you even more. One with one talent said, I know you were a hard case man. I knew that you were a hard taskmaster and that you were hard on people that lost your money. So I just dug a hole and buried it. Here it is. He said, "You man, that's awesome. You buried it. That is so smart." He said, "You idiot. You could have at least put it in the bank and got me some interest, but you buried it." He said, "You wicked servant." Uh-oh. Hiding your talents isn't an option. I know I'm supposed to make this real precious and fluffy. But come on, you sat through Dave Hogan for three nights, so there shouldn't be no problem with precious and fluffy. So Sarah, get up and sing "Just As I Am." Just as I am without one plea. That's a good song. Why don't you get them to do Mercy Seat, though? Do I have the word? I tell you what, let's do. Let's everybody stand up. Mom, please, if you held your hand up for prayer, I just want you to know that Jesus loves you so much. Do you know him? Do you know him? Is he your Lord? Is he your Savior? Is he your very best friend? Did you go to bed last night thinking about him? Will you go through the day today thinking about him and what he thinks of things? Will you go to bed tonight praising his name? You know, if not, you probably are backslidden at least, but you may have never even known him. God wants to touch you. God wants to forgive you. God wants to put your feet on the rock. He's a good God. He's a good God. But the one thing he hates is pride. And pride is what will keep you from surrendering to the Lord. Lord God, in Jesus' name, Father, I thank you, Holy Spirit, for drawing us to the truth. I thank you, Lord, you are the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through you, Jesus. If you don't know him, if you're away from him, if you need to come back and surrender your life to him, please, right now, in Jesus' name, do that. Take that step of faith to surrender in Jesus' name. He wants to plug you back in. He wants to plug you back into the power source. But above all, he wants you to be clean and free. So come on, if that's you, come on, let's come. Come on. I need Jesus. I need Jesus to forgive me. Come on. I need Jesus to forgive me. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. I need Jesus to forgive me. I've been away from you, Lord. I've been away from you, Lord. Jesus, I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. Well, praise the Lord. I do one more thing. I want you to look to your left, to your right, behind you, in front of you. And when I say this, I just want you to ask that person next to you or behind you or in front of you, do you need forgiveness? Do you need to be washed and cleansed? Do you need to recommit your life to Jesus? Do you need to do that for the first time? Just whatever the Holy Spirit puts in your mouth. Make sure right now, saints of God, make sure everybody's asked now, boldly. Not just your best friend. Go on. Parade around a little bit. Make sure. Make sure everybody knows. Make sure everybody, nobody walks out of here doubting. Nobody needs to doubt. Come on, Jan back there looks lonely. Go back and ask Jan. Is everything cool? Is everything good between you and the Lord? Is everything good between you and the Lord? Praise the Lord. Thank y'all for being obedient to the Lord. Now, those of y'all that raised your hands or signified that you've got sickness, you've got something going on in your life that needs a physical healing, come up here right now. Come on, where you at? You held your hand up earlier. Where you at? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Servants of God, get up here. Worshipers, get up here. Come on, Janet, get up here. Y'all hold your hands out. Let's believe for miracles. Let's believe for miracles right now. We'll take nothing less than a miracle. Praise God. Yes, Lord, we need a miracle. Come on, young people. Y'all are full of faith. Y'all are full of faith. I had somebody call me up on the phone the other night and said, please have the teenagers pray for this person because they know. They know.